Well, thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. I know if you're like me, you'd much rather be sitting by the pool enjoying this wonderful weather, and I think we should talk to APHA about having the conference in San Diego every year. It's a lot warmer than Philadelphia, as much as I like Philadelphia.
Yes, I totally agree.
I am going to talk to you today about the physical activity intervention that I was involved with when I was working as a student, as a GA for the Florida Prevention Research Center at the University of South Florida. I'm actually now currently with the University of Alabama, so just to get all of those different universities cleared up. And of course, I also need to let you know that I don't have any personal financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. And a project like this obviously can't be done without the help of a lot of people, and so I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers at the Florida Prevention Research Center, but also the true leaders of this program, which was the Sarasota County Obesity Prevention Coalition. And we all know that the benefits of physical activity have been well established, and the ways that we can increase physical activity among youth are varied. And the social ecology model would suggest that we need to go beyond just individual behaviors, such as increasing physical activity and decreasing sedentary activities. And we need to go to the other ecological levels, such as the interpersonal level. For example, trying to get parents to support their kids' physical activity, or the institutional level. For example, having schools make sure that there is more active time in PE classes. At the community level, ensuring that there are safe places for kids to play. And then even at the policy level, making sure that, for example, when new roads are built, that there are bike lanes and sidewalks. VERB is a social marketing campaign some of you might be familiar with. It was developed by the CDC and launched in 2002 to promote physical activity among tweens. And this campaign was based on very extensive formative research with tweens and people that influence tweens. And the campaign was run until 2006, when it was defunded by Congress. And the initial evaluation showed that tweens who were exposed to this campaign did have increased levels of physical activity among certain subgroups, and that a very high percentage of tweens had been exposed to the program. Now, the thing about the VERB social marketing campaign was that it's safe to say that it was successful in getting kids to want to be physically active. It promoted physical activity as being cool, fun, and popular, and kids wanted to be active, but it didn't provide the outlets for kids to be active. And so that was up to the communities to ensure that they had ways for kids to be active. And so the program that I was involved with was the VERB Summer Scorecard Program, which was initially developed by a obesity prevention coalition in Lexington, Kentucky. We implemented this program in Sarasota County, Florida, modeled on the program that was developed by the coalition in Lexington. And with our VERB Summer Scorecard, we recruited action outlets from our community and asked them to provide discounted or free activities, free events for kids to be active over the summer. And you can see here on the right-hand side of this brochure is the scorecard itself. And there's 24 boxes there. And every time a tween went to one of these action outlets in the community, they could get their scorecard stamped, one stamp for each hour of activity. And on the back, we included a calendar of events, and this was based on feedback that we had received from parents saying they want to have a calendar, something they can put on their refrigerator to remind them of activities and free events that were happening throughout the summer. And so our initial evaluation, the first time we offered this program was in 2005, and our initial evaluation suggested a few changes to the program, and so we modified it slightly for 2006. For example, in 2005, we sent these scorecards home with students at the end of the school year before the beginning of the summer, and we found out that a lot of these didn't actually make it home to the parents. And so in 2006, we got the mailing list from the school board instead and mailed the scorecards along with a letter explaining the program to the parents. This program was advertised in the schools on the local school TV channel, and also the local television and radio stations advertised the program in the summer. So we got the whole community involved in promoting this program. And so in 2006, we wanted to evaluate the effect of our program. We wanted to see if kids who were participants in our program, if they were any more active than kids who didn't participate in the program. And so we used a quasi-experimental design, post-test only, because we didn't have pre-intervention data, but we were able to use both our intervention site, Sarasota County, and also a comparison site that was not exposed to Verb Summer Scorecard. And we chose this site based on its similarity in socioeconomic status with Sarasota County. And we took elementary schools from their intervention site and middle schools from our intervention site and matched them with similar schools in our comparison site, and they were matched based on percent of students receiving free and reduced lunch. And then we categorized those school pairs as being in the low, middle, or upper socioeconomic status bracket. And then we selected one school from each of those socioeconomic brackets, one middle school pair and one elementary school pair, one elementary, one middle school pair for each of those brackets. So if we had a total of three elementary school pairs and three middle school pairs, and these were selected at random. And then we administered a survey in these middle schools, first of all, in the elementary schools in all fifth grade classrooms, and then in the middle schools for just the elective classrooms, because we were getting feedback that the school principals were concerned that we would disrupt the valuable academic time, and so we only administered surveys in elective classrooms in the middle schools. And just to give you an idea of our subjects, we had about 754 in our comparison county and 1,253 in our intervention county. And we felt like it wouldn't be fair to compare students in our intervention county that hadn't even heard of the program. So we wanted to know, we wanted only to compare those who were exposed to our program to those in our comparison group. And so we asked students, have you ever seen, read, or heard of the Verb Summer Scorecard? And if they said yes, we considered those as being exposed to our program. If they said no, not exposed. So we had 513 who were exposed. And then we asked them, did you get a scorecard? And we had 239 who said yes, they got a scorecard. And then of those who got a scorecard, we asked, how much of the scorecard did you fill out? And if they filled out at least part of a scorecard, we considered those as participants in our program. And otherwise, that they were non-participants. So these were the groups that we were interested in comparing to our comparison group. Of only those that were exposed, these were the only ones that we looked at, and we looked at those who didn't receive a scorecard, and those who received a scorecard and didn't participate, and those who received a scorecard and did participate. And so just to look at the difference between our groups, this intervention group consists of only those who were exposed to our program. And you can see we did have differences in our intervention and comparison groups on gender, with more males in our comparison group. We also saw differences in grade, with more younger, from the younger grades in our comparison group, more fifth graders and sixth graders and fewer seventh and eighth graders. And that's probably because in our comparison site, we lost one middle school declined to participate. And so that explains why we have more students in the younger grades. And accordingly, we also have more younger students overall in the comparison site. And as far as race ethnicity is concerned, we also saw differences here with more African Americans and less Hispanics in our comparison site. And in socioeconomic status, even though we chose this county, the comparison county, based on its similarity in socioeconomic status with our intervention county, that one middle school that dropped out, that declined to participate, was the middle school that we had assigned in our low SES bracket. So that explains the difference that we see there. But we wanted to control for these effects when we looked at the effects of our program on physical activity. And so we used logistic regression analysis, and we looked at three different physical activity items. Vigorous physical activity was measured by the standard question, and during the last 7 days, on how many days did you participate in at least 20 minutes of physical activity that makes you sweat and breathe hard? I don't know if you all are familiar with that, but it's the standard item that comes from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And sufficient vigorous physical activity is considered 3 or more days. So we dichotomized that variable. So if students answered 0 through 2 days, we considered that not being sufficient vigorous physical activity, 3 or more days was sufficient. And you can see here our odds ratio. This figure here, 2.37, means that those who participated in our Verb Summer Scorecard program were over 2 times as likely as our comparison group to participate in sufficient levels of vigorous physical activity. And our other intervention groups, those who were exposed but got a scorecard but didn't participate, or were exposed but didn't get a scorecard, they were no different from our comparison site. We also looked at days of physical activity in an average week. What we were concerned with in developing this question is that if students participated in PE classrooms, if they were enrolled in PE, they might be more active than students who weren't enrolled in PE. And so we asked this question, think about an average week during the school year. On how many days of the week are you physically active or play sports, not including PE? And again, we see that those who participated in our program were more likely, 1.5 times more likely than our comparison group, to participate in sufficient levels of physical activity. And we also asked a weekend activity question, which was basically, last weekend, how many times did you play a game or dance or play sports? And we dichotomized the answers to this as well. Students were played a game or danced or were participated in some sort of physical activity on average 3.7 times on a weekend. And so we considered anything under that was below average, and three times or below was below average, 4 times or above was above average weekend activity. And so again, those who participated in the Verb Summer Scorecard program were 2 times more likely than our comparison group to participate in above average levels of weekend activity. And so we felt like these were very encouraging findings. Of course, there are some limitations. One, we didn't have any baseline measures, as I mentioned, so we don't know if those students who participated in our Verb Summer Scorecard program were active already to begin with. And these are self-reported data. They're not objective measures of physical activity, and we know that there can be underreporting or overreporting of data. And we only determined frequency of physical activity, with the exception of that one item that asked about vigorous physical activity. We're really not getting at duration or intensity, and all three, frequency, duration, and intensity, are important to know to determine how physically active these students were. And this vigorous physical activity item that is used on the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, the YRBS is typically done among high school students, so we don't know if it's valid in younger children. And this was cross-sectional data, so again, you know, were the kids who participated in our program actually the ones that were physically active to begin with? We can't determine this from cross-sectional data. But despite those limitations, I think that this study did have some strengths. One, we built upon the national VERB social marketing campaign, a campaign that was based on extensive formative research that had showed promise in increasing physical activity levels. It involved a community-based approach. We had input from the tweens, parents, the vendors in the community that provided physical activity. And we feel like the community members really had access to the resources and had a stake in the outcome. And we drew upon the social ecology framework and getting input from all of those different ecological levels. Ideas for future research. We'd like to develop more comprehensive ways to measure the impact of social marketing campaigns. You know, ideally, the randomized controlled trial would be the way to go, a longitudinal study, making sure that we have some pre-intervention values, and also more process evaluation to determine if we were able to reach the target audience. If you remember, I only had 513 of those 1,200 students had been exposed to the program. So what can we do to expose more children to the program? And we want to address the challenges of working in the schools and communities to administer community-level campaigns. It would be much easier to take an intervention, go to the schools, and get kids to increase physical activity, work on that individual-level behavior rather than trying to implement a community-wide event. And also, as I mentioned, I think, you know, maybe we were preaching to the choir. Maybe we were getting the more active kids to be involved in the program. So if we can find ways to reach those non-active tweens and to develop interventions tailored towards them, that might help us get those non-active kids more active. But one of the success stories of our program was actually getting the libraries involved and having the libraries had a dance at the beginning of the summer, and they were so excited because they got kids that normally aren't very active, those bookworms, to be active, but they also got kids who were active to come to the library, kids that normally don't come to the library. So it was a win-win situation for them. And the other thing is, in our effort to keep our messages tween-centered, I think that we might have neglected parental needs. And we kind of forgot that these kids in this age range have to have their parents' support. They have to have parents to get them to the activity. So if we can find ways to increase parent involvement and support, that would really improve the program. So if at the end, if you have questions, I'd be happy to entertain them, and thank you again for coming.